Harper Audio presents The Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place, Book 4, The Interrupted Tale, by Mary Rose Wood, performed by Catherine Kelgren. The First Chapter. A Swanburn Girl Thinks of Home. At the Swanburn Academy for Poor Bright Females, birthday parties were cheerful but brief affairs. They took place at breakfast in the dining hall over bowls of hot porridge. It was customary to offer the birthday girl an extra helping, which was generous but hardly necessary, as porridge is rather filling to begin with. Small gifts were permitted, as long as they were the humble sort that the girls could make themselves, such as knitted neck scarves and monogrammed handkerchiefs, and, of course, the ever-popular pillows embroidered with the sayings of the school's founder, Agatha Swanburn. But after the porridge had been eaten, the presents opened, and a round of, "For she's a credit to Swanburn, for she's a credit to Swanburn, for she's a credit to Swanburn!" "And so say all of us," had been rousingly sung. The party was done, and all the girls, including the birthday girl herself, were shooed off to their lessons straight away. "Remember, a sound education is the very best present of all," Miss Charlotte Mortimer, the headmistress, would say, clapping her hands to signal an end to the festivities. "Off you go now. Don't forget to clear your plates. Clap, clap, clap." Nothing unkind was meant by the brisk efficiency of these celebrations. There was simply a great deal to learn, and limited hours in which to learn it. As Agatha Swanburn herself once remarked, "So many cupcakes, so little time." An unfortunate mathematical ratio that remains in effect to this very day. Miss Penelope Lumley no longer lived at Swanburn Academy, of course. She had graduated more than a year earlier, and was now a professional governess in the grand house known as Ashton Place, currently the home of Lord Frederick Ashton and his excitable young wife, Lady Constance. The historically minded among you have doubtless heard of the Ashtons. In Miss Lumley's day, they were known for their immense wealth and sprawling estate, including a vast and mysterious forest in which some unusual things had been known to happen, but more on that subject later. With its manicured gardens, countless elegant rooms, and a fleet of servants tending to the house and its residence, Ashton Place was a far more luxurious setting than the Swanburn Academy for Poor Bright Females could ever hope to be. Even so, on this particular autumn morning, Penelope found herself feeling rather homesick for her alma mater. She missed the hard wooden benches and chilly classrooms in winter, for there was rarely enough wood to keep more than a modest fire going in each hearth, even on the coldest days. She missed the long march from the dormitories to the dining hall every morning, during which the girls bellowed the school song with great feeling and even greater volume in order to wake themselves up. She even missed the porridge, which, to be frank, was sometimes lumpy, especially if one let it get cold. Most of all, she missed the birthdays. For although the parties were short and lacked cake, and the presents were homespun and predictable, to Penelope's knowledge, never had any Swanburn girl received a golden locket from a secret admirer on her birthday, or a magic lamp with a wish-giving genie inside, or even a sweet-tempered pony to spoil and train and make one's best friend forever and evermore. Still, at Swanburn, when it was your birthday, everyone knew it. The day began with gifts and a song, and there were friends close at hand to share jokes and make a fuss. Even the sternest teachers and the brash older girls with whom you hardly dared to speak smiled at you in a special knowing way your whole birthday long. "Nevertheless, it is my birthday, even if no one knows it but me," Penelope confided to her bedchamber mirror as she readied herself for the day ahead by brushing her hair into its customary neat bun. "I am 16 years old, at last." Curious, she examined her fingers and wiggled her toes. At 16, they seemed no different than before, nor did the mirror show any evidence of transformation. Her drab, dark hair, her clear grey-green eyes, her brow that was prone to furrowing in deep concentration, especially when there was a mystery to be solved.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?